Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, church, both here and online. As Mark said, this morning's reading is from Paul's letter to Philemon, and we're reading verses 8 to 21 of that letter. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me as a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, and I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask.
Thanks, Greg. Well, good morning, church. Lovely to see you this morning. My name, as Mark said, is Roxanne. I'm one of our associate pastors here. Huge big hello and welcome. We've been tracking through a series called The Fruit of the Spirit. And let me just give you a kind of little rear view mirror view as to where we've been and what we've covered. We've covered a whole bunch. We started off the series looking at how the fruit of the Spirit grows, but only when we're connected to the vine. We need to abide in God and stay connected to God in order for fruit to flourish. So we looked at how important it is that we have that relationship with God. We looked at the Holy Spirit's work in the fruit of the Spirit and all the things that the Spirit does in order to bring about fruit and to move in our life. We also then looked at love. We had a bit of a deep dive with Adam on the fruit of love, and we looked at how love is kind of over everything. It's over all of the fruit of the Spirit, and we should also put on love in our behaviours and our actions and things. And then last week, Mark did a bit of a deep dive into joy, and we looked at how joy and love are actually linked together. And now what we're going to do is we're moving away from like a fruit as an individual thing, like, you know, we're not eating the apple here. We're looking at four fruits. We're looking today at peace and patience, or forbearance, it's sometimes known as, kindness and goodness. So rather than just eating one fruit, we're having a fruit salad today, okay? So you're going to get a little taste of those fruits, and hopefully it'll just be as refreshing and as delicious as a fruit salad for us. So when I dive into peace, patience, kindness and goodness, let's just have a brief moment of prayer just to align ourselves with the Lord. So would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that you are the one who brings about fruit in our lives. And as we come to your word this morning, open our hearts, God, open our minds to what you want to say. May you bear good fruit in us that we might reflect who you are. For your glory we ask. Amen. Amen. So one of the things that we're looking at today as we look at the fruit, I just wanted to remind us about the organic nature of this metaphor, that the fruit of the Spirit. I often say that the fruit of the Spirit is organic, not mechanic. It's something that grows, not something that is made. In other words, it comes from the farm and not the factory. It happens through the work of the Spirit and our efforts and our striving as well, but in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit that brings about that fruit. And as I was thinking about the fruit and our efforts, which are in partnership with the Spirit, I was actually thinking about my lemon tree. I have a lemon tree. It's the worst, most sadly neglected lemon tree in the garden. And I found a couple of things about my lemon tree. I can treat my lemon tree well. I can give it like Osmocote and all sorts of things to it. And it does grow when I water it, when I pay attention to it. But not only do I need to do things to my lemon tree, it's also critically important that I actually take things away from my lemon tree if I want fruit to grow. So at the base of my lemon tree, I'm not a great gardener, and so generally what happens is the weeds and the grass kind of come into the lemon tree and they compete for the soil, they compete for the water, they compete for the nutrients. And every now and then when I get a gardening kick on, I come over and I have to rip up all the weeds and the grass and all the things around my lemon tree in order that my lemon tree can benefit. I have to remove things as well as put things on my tree in order to produce fruit. Every now and then stink bugs come. I don't know if you know what stink bugs are. They're those big bugs, smelly, that's the name, kind of cool looking. And they come and attack my lemon tree and they try and eat up all the leaves of my tree. And what I have to do is come and remove the stink bugs. They're pretty obvious when they're there. I have to remove them and get rid of them in order for the tree to flourish and fruit to grow. Also, there's things that attack my lemon tree that I can't even see. You know, they're kind of invisible to the naked eye, you know, like aphid-sized things and all sorts of crazy things that you have to do. And as I was thinking about my lemon tree and thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, I wanted to kind of bring about this idea for us this morning that the fruit of the Spirit flourishes and grows and the Spirit works in us, not only when we put things on like love and when we change our behaviours, but also the other side of it is that we have to do some weeding in our lives. We have to remove some things in our lives that are not conducive towards good conditions for fruit to grow. And so that's kind of where we're heading in as we look at these fruits, because I think particularly peace and forbearance or patience, kindness and goodness are also about what we remove in order for those things to flourish in our lives. Which brings us to this letter of Philemon, which was a portion of that was read for us. This little tiny letter in the kind of towards the end of the New Testament is the country town of Bible letters. You know those little country towns you drive through and you blink and you miss it and you're like, well, did we just pass a town? I don't even know. Was that a town? I saw a sign. Nothing. But sometimes if you stop, you go, oh, this is actually a very interesting place. This is the blink and you miss it letter of the New Testament. It's tiny. It's tiny. And it's a letter, a personal letter from Paul, the apostle, to Philemon, who lived in Colossae, the Colossian church. So that's his church, Colossae. And so basically what this letter is, it's a reference. It's like a reference letter. Now, if you've ever applied for a job or want to get your kids into a particular school and you've asked someone, can you know, type me up a reference letter and, you know, say what a good person I am and how awesome I am and why I should get this job or why my kids should get into this school. And somebody speaks well of you on your behalf and you get a reference letter. This is kind of like a reference letter from Paul to Philemon, but there's a lot more at stake than just a new job. There's a lot riding on this letter because the subject of the letter is a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. Great name, Onesimus. So Onesimus, the name, means useful. That's what his name means. He's a slave and he was useful, but not anymore because he's run away. right? He's done the bolt, the Harry Holt. Off he's gone and run away from Philemon. Likely, we actually think that he's probably stolen money from Philemon and run away, because as a slave, you didn't have any money, and in order to run away, you kind of needed some money. So they think, we don't know, we think he's probably stolen and run away from Philemon. And in the ancient Near East, to be a runaway slave was incredibly difficult and very, very precarious. It's a very, very different system than we have here. Slavery was common, it was accepted, it was the established way to do things. And sometimes people say, why didn't Paul speak up against slavery? Why didn't he say, free all the slaves? He doesn't, but he moves towards that. Slavery was probably about as accepted as mortgages today. So if you turned around and said, we're going to get rid of all mortgages, no more mortgages, people would think you've lost the plot, wouldn't they? It'd be weird. So in this culture, slavery was very, very common, and it was just the way the economic system worked. Slaves didn't have their own autonomy. They weren't seen as a person. They were seen as a possession. Something that you could boss around or do or send or utilize in any way that was a benefit to the master. And that was the established thing. There's a slave and there was a master. And for a slave to steal, probably, and run away was a horrific and awful thing to do. It was a betrayal. It upset the economic order. It upset the social order. And so Onesimus has run away from Philemon. But we hear in this tiny little drive-through letter that what has happened is Onesimus has met the Apostle Paul in prison. He has met him. And as a prisoner of Christ, Paul says, I appeal to you now for my son Onesimus, who became my son when he was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you. Get the joke? Useless. But now he's become useful for both of us. Get the joke? Because I'm sending you now back to him. And so Onesimus is coming, knees knocking, shaking, probably carrying his own reference letter, we think, back to Philemon. And Philemon had so much power invested in him into that Greco-Roman world that he could have had a lot of options of what to do with Onesimus. Generally what happened is slaves who were returned or found and forcibly returned to their masters, they most often were physically punished. So they were punished with whippings or beatings or something like that. They would also often have a letter branded into their forehead, an F for fugitive, the same word for fugitive, so to show that they were an escaped slave and they were kind of lesser than they were before. Sometimes they were given like a big collar to wear with please return to, labels on them kind of thing. In really worse cases, really bad cases, they could even be killed. They can even be crucified or killed as an example to other slaves. And so Onesimus is coming back to an uncertain future, and Philemon has the ability to do all of this, to have consequences for Onesimus. Yet Paul, the apostle, writes a reference letter asking Philemon not to do any of that, and in fact to display some fruit of the Holy Spirit and to act out the gospel itself in his acceptance of Onesimus. And it's just absolutely incredible as to what he does. He says now, I appeal to you on the basis of love, and here is my son Onesimus, and I am sending him back to you. No longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's dear to me, but even dear to you, because now he's no longer a slave, but he's a fellow man, and he is a brother in the Lord. And Paul is asking for Onesimus to be not punished, not beaten, but actually to be welcomed back into communion to a greater level than he was before. Not just taking him back as a slave, but taking him back as a man and a brother. And Philemon has the opportunity to display fruits of the Spirit in a particular way. We're going to have a look at those four fruit, but I just want to say from that, just before we get into the fruits of the Spirit, this is not about justice so much. Paul's not advocating for no consequences for any bad behaviour. That's not his intention in this letter. It's not like Christians today go into prison ministry and go, if you become a Christian, great, you're free, open the prison doors. That's not what's going on here. We do believe that God is a God of love and justice. The law in the Old Testament states that God is very much about justice as well. So this is actually about relationship and relationship in the church and unity in the body of believers, as not so much about the justice system. Okay, everyone great? Nod if you're happy. Yep, perfect, great. So no one asked me questions about that. I asked the big three questions about that. But here's the fruit that Philemon is being asked to display, because he's being asked to display the fruit of peace. And just like my lemon tree, that things have to get removed for that fruit to flourish, Philemon has to jettison and let go of things that would normally be expected of him. He's being asked to lay down his rights to vengeance. To vengeance, to retribution, to a level of justice. To hold, what he's holding on to is being right. I'm right. That's my slave and I'm the master. And Paul is asking him to weed that out, to let that drop. And to say that the most important thing in the believing's relationship in the body of Christ is peace. Do the things that make for peace. This is what God has done to us. He has made peace one with another. And making peace and having peace as the fruit means you've got to let go of the things that are anti-peace and let go sometimes of your rights. And he's asking Philemon to do this. He's also asking Philemon to endure and to persevere in his relationship with Onesimus. He's asking him to be gracious to him. The word there, forbearance, or sometimes it's patience, depending on which Bible your translation you're reading, the word there is actually about being slow to anger. Literal translation is being slow to get hot, slow to heat up. This is the word in the fruit of the Spirit. If you become hot-headed, it's the opposite to being kind of patient and slow to kind of heat up, to not get your blood up. And Paul is asking Philemon to display this fruit, to be slow and to forbear with Onesimus. To have a posture of grace and forgiveness towards him, not just as a moment, but as an enduring, slow working towards relationship. That's what he's being asked to do. And he's being asked then to let go of flying off the handle, to let go of that fury of the moment, to let go of all the self-protection that is in dismissing somebody, one and done, you're dead to me, that kind of attitude. The right, you've burnt your bridges with me. That's the stuff that Paul is asking Philemon to drop, to weed out, to instead to endure with patience and to be slow to anger. He's asking him to display what God displays, the character of God. A famous verse in Exodus, and this verse is repeated multiple times in the Old Testament, says this: the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And this is the kind of endurance, this perseverance that he's asking to display, and not only towards Onesimus in relationship, but also in terms of his own ability, Philemon's own ability to deal with his culture. Because he's the paterfamilias, he's the master, and in the Greco-Roman world, you needed to be strong, you needed to display your strength and show you were strong, that you were the man, you were in charge. And if you're accepting some rando, runaway slave, scot-free, back into your family, back into your community, that's not for the culture showing strength. That's almost like a weakness. And so that patience and forbearance that Paul is asking from Philemon is actually also about letting go of reputation. Letting go of the way people see you. Letting go of your credibility publicly to take the hit for the purposes of relationship. It's letting that go. That's hard, man. That's hard. So peace and patience. But also, Paul's asking him to come back. And he says to him, you know, like, welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul's asking him to treat this runaway slave, this thiefy slave, the same way that you would treat the very apostle Paul himself. He's putting himself in that place and asking him to let go of the ability to just be so self-centered. And he's asking to treat Onesimus with kindness, the hand of kindness, not shaming Onesimus, not constantly harping on, even in a joke form, about what Onesimus has done, but to offer that sincere hand of friendship and brotherhood, to lay down, let go of his self-obsession and considering ourselves above every other person, to let go of that and to extend this gracious, kind hand of grace towards Onesimus. That's not all. The other fruit of the Spirit is goodness. So kindness and goodness are linked. Kindness is the way we treat others, the soft way we treat others, the soft hand of grace. But goodness is the strong way we treat others, the strength of grace. And Paul writes this letter and he says, you know what, if you've done anything wrong, charge it to me. I am writing this with my own hand. It's me that you're accepting. It's me you are welcoming. I want you to bring him back. And he says, consider your obedience, he says, knowing that you will do even more than I ask, says Paul. Knowing you're going to do even more than I ask. Reading between the lines, Paul is asking Philemon to free Onesimus, to not only accept this slave back in the same way that you would and treat him like Paul, to let go of the vengeance and justice and let go of the selfishness and take a hit in your social standing, but also to free him from slavery. And goodness is about that. It's going beyond fairness and it's going into beauty and moral generosity, doing over and above more that is required. So goodness takes strength and courage. It's the courageous step. And goodness is that kind, soft step, the soft approach. So Paul's asking Philemon to do this and to receive Onesimus back, not just as a slave, not even just as a brother, but to free him and to treat him as Paul himself. And he says this. He says, if he's done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Charge it to me. And this letter is this incredible picture of Christ. This little tiny reference letter is a little lived out, rubber hits the road parable version of what Jesus does for us. Because we are the people that have run away from God. We're the ones who have done our own thing. We're the ones who've gone off target with God. And God, in his strength and his grace and his mercy and his patience and forbearance with us, receives us back on the recommendation of Jesus about what Jesus has done for us, that Jesus has paid, and we are no longer slaves, but we are elevated to be the brothers and sisters of Jesus himself, the family and the people of God. And so when Paul writes to Philemon, it's a picture of the gospel itself. Incredible. And I love the fruit of the Spirit that it grows in us, and it's sometimes what we put on and it's sometimes what we have to remove. And I don't know about you, but when I read the list of the fruit of the Spirit, we talk about love, joy and peace and patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think those things sound amazing. They sound fantastic. I want me some of that. I want to feel more peaceful. I want to have more people be patient with me. I want to feel more kind. I want to feel more good. But you're probably getting what I'm putting down here. It's not actually about the way we feel. The fruit is about our relationships with one another. It's how we treat one another. It's not about ourselves. My lemon tree has currently got one lemon on it. Haven't done much weeding. But the lemon itself that my lemon tree produces is not just for me to eat. The purpose of fruit in a plant is not just to produce fruit. It's actually to make more trees that produce more fruit, that produce more trees, that produce more fruit. In each fruit are the seeds for more, for multiplication, for moving out. And when we produce fruit, and it's not just about our own feelings and it's not just about the way we want to be, when we weed out what's wrong and we bring in what's good, and when the Spirit produces the fruit of God in our lives, it has the ability to multiply that for the benefit of others and for God's kingdom purposes in the world. There's a brilliant story. One of my favourite musicals is Les Mis. I don't know if you've read the book by Victor Hugo, Les Miserables, or you've seen the amazing musical, or maybe you've had to just suffer through Russell Crowe singing in the movie. I'm sorry about that. But there's this brilliant scene in Les Mis where the main character is Jean Valjean, and he's been in prison for 7 years for stealing a loaf of bread. Finally, he's freed. He's gone parole, and he's got nothing. He's got nothing. And a priest Bienvieux, welcomes him in and gives him a meal and a bed and everything he needs. But in the middle of the night, Jean Valjean knows he's got to run. And so he steals. He steals from the church, from the priest's church. He takes some silver and he runs away. But in the morning, he's captured by the police at the time and brought back before the priest, guilty, with the silver that he's stolen in his hands. And the police say to the priest, "We've captured Jean Valjean. He's stolen from you." And the priest displays the most incredible fruit of the Holy Spirit in that moment. And he takes then some candlesticks and says, "My friend, you left so quickly. You've left the best behind. These are the gift for you. You've left them behind." And he waves off the police. And Jean Valjean is cut to the heart, cut to the bone. And the priest says then to Jean Valjean, he says, "I have bought your soul for God. Take this and become a better man." And it's the most incredible moment, and in the story, and that becomes the pivot, the hinge on which this character, Jean Valjean's life is changed. And out of that gracious moment where he receives that incredibly generous gift, that gift of mercy, it is the thing that changes his life. And out of that moment, fruit is multiplied out. It doesn't just end with him. It ends with him affecting so many people's lives down the track, because he does the same thing over and over and over. So friends, when we come before the Lord and when we root out the things that are stopping us from growing, when we do that, and when the Spirit brings about the fruit in our lives, it has the ability not just to make our lives better, although it does. God does. But it has the ability to change lives, to break through relationships, to call out to the world and say, God is different. The Lord, compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy and love. And we have the ability to show that to the world when we bear the fruit of God. So what happened with Philemon? What happened with Onesimus? What happened with Paul? Know a little bit about Paul. We don't know for certain what happened with Onesimus, Mr. Useful. We don't know for certain, but we've got some ideas. Generally speaking, scholars think it went well. Generally speaking, scholars think that Philemon had this reference letter and did what Paul asked him to do, that displayed the fruit of the Spirit and did what Paul asked him to do. A couple of reasons for that is because Paul writes a letter to that same church, to the Colossians, about peace and love and about relationship and about getting on well together. And in the greetings to the church in Colossae, he says this. It's about someone who's coming. He says, he's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. He's one of you. So we suspect and we think, and the fact that this letter's made it into the canon of Scripture, we suspect that that did happen, that Philemon did welcome him, that probably he freed him, that he treated him with that patience and that forbearance that endures, and that kindness and that that generosity of goodness, and that he becomes an active member of the church community. But friends, that story of Philemon and Onesimus, it doesn't just happen because Paul's a great guy. It doesn't just happen because Onesimus was a cracker slave and, gee, now he's a cracker servant of the Lord. And it doesn't just happen because Philemon's a top bloke either. It happens because those three people that we're speaking about have received from God what they give out. They are the recipients themselves of God's mercy and grace, and they act out of the overflow of that. And as we now move to a time of communion, that's my prayer for us this morning, that for us to bear fruit and for us to display that fruit and to behave that way, it doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's not something that we have to manufacture. Fruit is organic, not mechanic. It's something that God is going to grow in us. And it will only grow in us when we are connected to the vine, when we stay true in good, loving communion with our Lord. And so, friends, as we come to this time of communion today, I want you to be having a moment with the Lord. I want you to be praying. And I want you to be thinking, God, what are the things I need to be weeding out in my life? What are the things that I need to be removing? What are the hindrances? What are the weeds that are stopping my attention, that are taking away my attention from you? What are the stink bugs? What are the things that are eating away at my relationship with you that I need to be removing? Not only what is the love I'm putting on, but what is in the way of us, God? What is in the way? And I want us to come to communion knowing that just like Paul said to Philemon, charge it to me. Anything that Onesimus has done, I will pay it. That this is what Jesus does for each one of us. That as we miss the mark and we do the wrong thing for God, or we transgress, we do what we shouldn't have done, or we go where we shouldn't have gone, then Jesus says, no, I will pay it. I have paid it. I've paid it in my blood and I've paid it in my body, and it is freely given. So as we come to this time of communion, not only be thinking about what are the things that are stopping you from growing fruit, but also that you're not manufacturing this, friends. You don't have to make this. This comes from the Lord. This is freely given. and you can freely receive all that the Lord has for you today. So I'm going to ask the attendants to come, and they're going to distribute a little bit of bread. It's gluten-free, you'll be happy to know. You can take that and you can eat that in your own time. Spend some time with the Lord, receiving from Him, giving whatever you need to give over to Him. Eat that in your own time. And then we're going to hold on to the cup, and once everyone's been served, we're going to drink that together as a sign of our unity in the Lord today. So please do that. Friends online, we would love for you to join us. So please do join us in this time. Thank you. beloveds, the Lord Jesus Christ welcomes you and accepts you. He has paid the price for you. He loves you, displayed in his incredible sacrifice. Let's drink together in memory. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are and for your great love for each one of us. Lord, even when we do the wrong thing, even when we hang on to the things we should have weeded out, you never stop loving us. We thank you that you are patient with us. Lord God, that you bring peace between you and us and one another. We thank you for your kindness towards us. We thank you for your goodness, that you give us more than we deserve. Lord, help us to love out of the overflow, to receive that from you, and to be so filled with the fruit of the Spirit that it can't help but overflow to others, that others might see you and bear fruit themselves, and that your kingdom may advance and your purposes be achieved here on this earth. Thank you, loving God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.